episode 10 of the Curly W Live podcast. Episode 10 is coming to you from Orlando, Florida, the site of the 2017 baseball winter meetings. As a reminder, you can always find the podcast on our blog, which is Curly W Live, curlyw.mlblogs.com, nationals.com/podcast, and on iTunes. Search Curly W Live. So episode 10 features an interview with Nationals manager Dave Martinez. We recorded the podcast on Monday morning as a stop on Davey's media tour at the winter meetings. He had his manager's press conference. He joined MLB Network's Hot Stove for a segment, stopped by MLB Network Radio. He did an interview with Masson and spent some time with Yahoo Sports opening up old baseball cards. So in the midst of all that, he took some time to sit down with us for an interview. And in his interview, Davey opened up about what his first few months on the job have been like, his coaching staff. We talked about his playing career a little bit and some of the mentors he had along the way as a very young player, some of his philosophies on coaching and managing, and we talked about some of the things he's looking forward to as manager of the Washington Nationals. So without much further ado, let's get to it. Here is episode 10 of the Curly W Live podcast featuring Nationals manager Dave Martinez. Enjoy. Coming to you from the Swan and Dolphin Hotel in Orlando, Florida, the site of the 2017 winter meetings. And with me this morning is Dave Martinez, the manager of the Washington Nationals. So, Dave, we're checking in with you for the first time since your press conference about a month ago. So, from that time to now, what have you been up to as your manager, your first few months as a big league manager?
I've been starting conversations with players, calling, texting, trying to build that communication, engaging in conversations with them, also with the coaching staff. Front office, just trying to build that relationship. I think it's important that we're all on the same page and we start building relationships.
Now, without divulging any secrets or personal information, like, what are your conversations with the players like? Is it personal stuff? Is it about, you know, what they like to do as a player, their routines? What are you checking in with them about?
You know, it varies. I try to just engage in just a basic conversation. You know, it could go from baseball to talk to Anthony about His wedding that he just had, and talked a lot about that and what he was doing, and talked to Max about his having a new baby. It's just, like I said, it's starting to create that bridge to each player individually and just building relationships with them.
Now, when we saw you at your press conference, you hadn't started your coaching staff yet. It was pretty early in the process. So now that we have a full staff, can you kind of go through what went into putting your staff together?
Well, Mike and I sat and put together a list of guys that we thought would fit what we wanted to do moving forward. And we wanted to create we wanted to have guys and that could communicate with players as well as I can. We want to have guys that knew the analytical side of the game, but yet were good baseball-minded coaches as well. And I think we did a wonderful, wonderful job getting the coaches that we got, full of high energy, very confident, very positive, and they're all excited to be part of the Washington Nationals organization.
And one of those coaches is Bobby Henley, kind of a mainstay in the organization. He's been with us for a very long time and been on the big league staff for a while. As what went into keeping him around?
Well, believe me, it wasn't a hard choice. After talking to people in the organization, talking to players, and having a conversation with him, he fits the bill. And he's full of energy. Brings a lot of years of coaching. Knows the players. It was an easy choice, you know. And I try to surround myself with good baseball, good positive energy guys. And he was the one guy that I felt could really, really, really. We could really benefit from keeping.
Now, do you want guys that are of the same ilk as you, kind of the same type of personality, same type of people, or are you looking for guys that, I don't want to say argue with, but have good conversations and that you challenge each other? What was the balance like there?
I definitely do not want any yes guys. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me what I know. Tell me what I don't know. Mm-hmm. And constructive criticism is awesome for mm-hmm. me. I don't claim to know everything. I try to learn every day. I think these guys bring a little bit, or should I say a lot of bit, of experience to the game and knowledge.
Now, you guys spent a weekend together in West Palm a couple weeks ago. Can you tell us a little bit about what went into that weekend and what you guys all accomplished?
Well, I wanted to make sure that Mike and I wanted to make sure we brought everybody in. Got to know each other, open lines of communication, and start building those relationships, and also, you know, communicate with the analytical guys. Some scouts were there, and it turned out to be an unbelievable 3 days of conversations and good times.
Now, at your press conference, you told a good story about how you got into coaching when you were a spring training instructor. But going back to your playing days, was coaching or managing something you thought of? And were there any coaches that kind of pushed you in that direction or that inspired you?
You know, I played for so long, once I got done playing, I thought, you know, I was done. I had a really good career, and I thought I just wanted to be at home. And Joe Madden called me up in 2006, mm-hmm. and I started doing some part-time coaching mm-hmm. with the Rays, and then finally realized that, hey, you know, I really do like this. I like being around the guys, and I love being on the field, and maybe it's something that I would want to do. And before you know it, I got hired as the bench right. coach. So, you know, with that being said, you know, that leads up to today. I'm passionate about the game. I love the game of baseball, and I learned so much and had so many good mentors along the way as a player that, you know, I really felt like, hey, I really do have an opportunity mm-hmm. to do something other than just be a coach, and that was to manage, and that was my, you know, inspiration is to get to the next level and be able to manage in the major leagues.
I'm glad you brought up your playing days, because a lot of people the last 10 years they've known you as a bench coach, and you've had incredible success, of course. But I mean, you played a long time, 16 seasons, 2,000 games, 1,600 hits. And one thing about your career that I don't know how many people know, you were in the big leagues at 21 years old, and that's not easy to do, especially back then. And you look at now, it's trending younger. The game is a little bit. But being in the big leagues at 21 years old at that time, you know, were there any veterans that kind of took you under their wing and kind of showed you how to play the game and what being a big leaguer was all about?
Oh, absolutely. You know, like I said, I was 21 years old. I don't care what anybody says at 21, you know, you still have fears.
Yeah.
And I'd have to say that, you know, Rick Sutcliffe, Jody Davis, Andre Dawson, you know, Ryan Sandberg, those guys, you know, all helped me through those times. I mean, there wasn't very many young players at those times, you know, but we were the team that I was on was all mostly veterans. Yeah. So they helped me go through, and I understand that part of the game, and I really take into consideration the younger players and really try to help them out and guide them and tell them that, you know, hey, I understand the frustrations and I understand what you go through because I've been there.
Mm-hmm. Is that something you'll point out to like a Trey Turner or Victor Robles or Joe Ross, or are you going to kind of just let yourself coach and not really point to the fact that, you know, you were in their shoes at one point?
Well, you know, we just, as game progresses, as, mm-hmm. you know, every day progresses, you watch and see what their needs are. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, yeah, you might have to say, hey, look, you know, if they're struggling at a time, mm-hmm. says, hey, I've been in your situation. Right. I said, you're really, remember why they're here, mm-hmm. and explain to them, hey, you got here because you do all the little things right. You know, just concentrate on the little things and you'll be fine.
Did you ever find yourself maybe with like guys with the Rays or, you know, Chris Bryant with the Cubs, like subconsciously parroting a line that you heard from Rick Sutcliffe or Andre Dawson, and you think back, you say something to those guys, but you're like, huh, that's funny, like he told me, Rick Sutcliffe said that to me, you know, a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, the biggest thing that I got from all those guys mm-hmm. is that, hey, you stay within yourself, mm-hmm. You compete every day, and you don't worry about anything else mm-hmm. that transpires. A lot of things happen in the game. Mm-hmm. He said, you're here to compete, and you're here to be you,
right.
You know, just be yourself and go out there and have fun. You've done this your whole life. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing changes.
Right.
I said, you just always tell me, you know, when I had doubts, they would tell me how good I was mm-hmm. and that helped.
Fast forward a little bit to when you're in Montreal, you played in outfield with Otis Nixon, Marquise Grissom, Larry Walker, guys that went on. You were all pretty young at that time, but they all went on to have great careers, you included. I mean, what was it like playing with such a talented outfield back when you were pretty young?
It was incredible. You know, we had good time together, mm-hmm. full of energy. Mm-hmm. I can remember standing out that we all threw the ball really well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what I heard from a lot of other teams and coaches, you know, like, you know, when we come in to play, you guys
don't run.
Yeah, nobody ran. Yeah, and it kind of stunk for us because
right.
you know, we like throwing guys out, mm-hmm. but no one ever challenged us.
That's great. Now, and then you eventually joined the Tampa Bay Rays. and hopefully people know this, but you got the first hit in Rays history. So I'm not going to ask you necessarily about the at-bat itself, but the most important part, did you keep the ball?
Well, actually, the ball and the bat went to the Hall of Fame. Okay.
So you're in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. I got a replica.
So now with your job with the Nationals, let's talk a little bit about that. And what I wanted to talk to you a little bit about is, like, have you thought about some of your firsts? Obviously, this is your first managing job. But have you thought about, like, your first spring training meeting that you'll, you know, when you got the entire team together, opening day, you know, your first pitching change, your first win? Have you thought about that yet?
Oh, absolutely. I think about a lot of things. You know, the one thing that stands out the most is that, so we play game five in Washington. And when I come out of the dugout before the game, I look around and I see 50,000 fans all wearing red. That was impressive. I mean, and so for me, knowing the fan base that we have, I build on that, you know, and I want us to succeed, not only just for the Washington Nationals and the players, but also for the fans that who are there through thick and thin, right, for the organization. So I think about all those things and moving forward and getting to spring training and starting that whole, like I said, that building those relationships and getting going.
Now, you don't have to tell us because it'll be your first, you know, speech or whatever, but do you know what your message is going to be that first day of spring training when you got 60 guys or whatever in camp together and we're all in the room looking at you?
My message will be, in short, is to play the last game of the World Series and win it.
Okay.
And the focus will be is to compete every day at the highest level. Okay.
Now, along those same lines, have you thought about how your day-to-day preparation is going to change come April and, you know, end of March, early April, when you're the manager now? And how is your day going to change, you know, for a 7 o'clock game? Have you thought about that at all?
Well, you know, as a bench coach for many years, you develop a routine, and you develop a routine with the manager, with the coaching staff, with, you know, your trainers. So I think moving forward, I've been trying to think of what my routine would be. I'm very hands-on, you know. Like I said, I love being on the field. I love communicating with the players. I plan on continuing to do that. As a manager, that's never going to change. I mean, that's who I am. That's what I love.
Right.
But I definitely will find that niche and create that routine so that everything's the same every day.
Now, obviously, during your time with the Cubs, the winning the World Series is probably up there in your career accomplishments. But at the smaller level, can you think of, like, a specific progression of a player that you've worked with over the years that you're really proud of?
Well, you know, there's quite a few players that I really that I admire for, you know, like, you know, and some of them aren't really big name players, right. You know, Deonna Navarro, one, you know, great relationship with them. Jose Molina, another guy, you know, Chris Bryant, Rizzo, you know, great relationship with David Ross, you know. So, I mean, it varies. Addison Russell, you know, who, you know, I look at him as being, you know, being an extension of my family, okay. You know, yeah. So, I mean,
Well, it's good that you've got a lot of guys that you can lean on and a lot of experience helping those guys progress. And obviously, Addison Russell is one of the top shortstops in the National League now. So it's good that you can lean on your experiences with him going forward. So at the press conference, you said you wanted to keep it loose, regardless of win or loss. You want that music on. You talked about Sunday fun days, which I know we're all looking forward to seeing what that necessarily entails. And everyone has their own way of going about staying loose. It's a grind of a season from mid-February to hopefully the end of October. How do you stay loose? What are you listening to? What you know, kind of relaxes you on game days?
Well, I like a variety of music. You know, every day after a good day or bad day, I like to sip a glass of wine and put the music on and sit around in the office and just kind of gather my thoughts and prepare myself for the upcoming day. And I love food. I like to eat different kinds of food. Okay. I'm not afraid to try too many things.
So is that something, were you loose as a player, or is that something that kind of shifted when you became a coach?
I think it's something that shifted, you know, like the best way I could describe it is, as a player, you're worried about what you can do to help a team win. As a coach, I worried about 25 individuals and how I could prepare them all individually to grasp the same message.
All right, we'll end with a couple quick hitters for you. An off day at home, what are you looking to do? And an off day on the road, what are you looking to do?
An off day at home, probably just sit back, relax, you know, listen to little music, taking some sights, you know. I'm looking forward to that. An off day on the road, depending on where we're at, but I really enjoy fishing, you know, and during the season, I think other than the baseball field, my out is to be fishing and relaxing and just, you know, trying to catch some fish.
And then your favorite road restaurant and your favorite road stadium, other than Nationals Park when you were a visitor?
My my favorite restaurant, it's kind of a few. I do like Carmine's a lot in New York.
Okay.
Good family style restaurant, you know. It's a good place to gather all the coaches and eat. And my favorite stadium. Gosh, I'm a big fan of the older stadiums.
Mm-hmm.
But I will have to say the Atlanta Braves' new stadium.
Okay. SunTrust.
Yeah, it's really
the visiting clubhouse there is.
Yeah. I really like it. It's really really nice. Yeah.
And then what are you looking forward to most about being in DC? Are you a tourist guy? Are you cool going to the museums and seeing all that stuff? What are you looking forward to most about being a part of DC?
For me, it's DC is so different. Mm-hmm. You know, there's like different parts that you could do so many different things, you know, but I'm looking forward to just exploring, you know, just doing different things. You know, I'm not afraid that you go to me, try different, different things and doing different, going different avenues and see what's out there.
All right. Well, Davey Martinez, thank you for joining us today at the winter meetings. And we look forward to hearing more from you throughout the season.
Awesome. Thanks. Can't wait.
Thanks again to Dave Martinez for joining us on episode 10 of the Curly W Live podcast. As we always talk about, we want your feedback, so feel free to tweet at me, at Kyle Brostowitz, or at Nationals, and feel free to leave comments on Curly W Live. As a reminder, you can always find the podcast on our blog, Curly W Live, which is curlyw.mlblogs.com, nationals.com/podcasts, and on iTunes. Be sure to subscribe to the blog as well as to the podcast on iTunes so you don't miss out on anything. And be sure to stay locked into the winter meetings this week. Refresh Twitter, stay glued to MLB Network, keep Curly W Live open on your desktop. You never know what could happen this week. And after the meetings wrap up on Thursday, don't forget to join us this Friday and Saturday at Winterfest at the Washington Convention Center. If you see me walking around the floor, feel free to shout out the podcast. I would love to meet some of our listeners. So if you haven't already, be sure to head over to nationals.com/winterfest to get your tickets. Once again, Nationals fans, thanks for listening, and we will see you next time on the Curly W Live podcast.